beautiful.
Oh, I love it.
I like courtesy of Fox. Can't play enough of it. I'm making my ringtone on my phone. If I can figure out how to do that, I might do that too. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Charlie Huzza produced The Other Side of Glasses, Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Joining us now, he is Rami Makhlouf, 670 The Score. Also fills in here on The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Are you over it yet, or is it still hurt?
That's not nice. You know,
it's not nice. What are you talking about? It's not nice.
I took time out of my day. You text me last minute, of course, by the way. Hey,
yeah.
You doing a show today at 4:20? Yeah, sure. Sparky, we're boys. Yeah. Let me do that. Let me jump on your show. Talk some sports on Wisconsin Sports Daily with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And you're going to bring me on with that? You're going to bring me on with that.
Hey, man, look, I need a Chicago perspective to all this is what I need. And I don't know anybody other than you that's been through more. Charlie's younger than you by a good 20 years. So he's been through some stuff.
Yeah. How old is Charlie?
Yeah, he's in his mid-20s.
23.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 20 years. Right? Yeah.
Wow.
See? Didn't make it up. Okay, so now let me ask you this. Where does this rank on heartbreak for you and that gigantic pull of Heartbreak Hotel for the Bears fans? Like, where is this, like, towards the top? Like, what's one? Like, you know, for Packer fans, that damn Seattle 2014 conference championship game will live in infamy with heartbreak for us as far as not going to the Super Bowl. What is it for you guys? Where does this rank?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Randall Cobb go to the house and, you know, in a playoff game. I've seen a week 17 that came down to making the playoffs or not making the playoffs and lose to the Packers. This is just, I mean, the blocked field goal makes it, you know, a little bit more dramatic than your average regular season loss. But this is, I mean, in the big picture of things, Sparky, I have too much scar tissue to let a regular season loss in week 10 to the Packers in a season that's already done and over with really, you know, break me down. I've been through it. Sparky, I worked the post game show of game 163 when the Brewers beat my Cubs and basically put an end to that World Series run. I've been through worse. I've been through far worse. You can't hurt me.
11
doesn't do a whole lot to me.
That's fine. That's good. I can respect that, man. I know. So 11 games in a row. You guys have lost to the Packers. Okay, it is what it is. Doesn't matter for the Packers or anybody else. The bigger issue is y'all haven't had a quarterback in quite some time. I thought Cutler was going to be that guy for y'all. That didn't work out. Then you all, not me, thought that Justin Fields was going to be the guy. That didn't work out. Now here is Caleb Williams. What's going to make the story any different this time?
You skipped over Mitch Trubisky, but honestly,
no,
Sparky,
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yesterday might have been best possible outcome, which is an outcome which was a realization I came to hours after the game, and maybe I'm just coping. Maybe this is just Bears fan coping here. But Eberflus is not the guy, and we've talked, Sparky. I've never really thought Eberflus was the guy. They're never getting where they're trying to go as long as that guy is the head coach. They made the change at offensive coordinator last week. I really liked what I saw from the game plan this week in terms of getting the ball out quick, dumbing things down, giving him less options and less to process as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. And I thought for the first time in a few weeks, the arrow was pointing up on Caleb Williams and things are moving in the right direction. And on top of that, for the second time, he showed you that he can lead a game-winning drive in the last minutes of a football game, and that's not an easy thing to do. That's not something that every quarterback can go out there and do. He showed some things yesterday. I thought he was the better of the two quarterbacks in yesterday's game, and I don't know when's the last time I've been able to say that about a Bears and Packers game. So for me, the best possible outcome yesterday and for the rest of this season is things keep moving in the right direction for Caleb Williams as far as his personal development, and the Bears keep losing games so that they don't have any inkling or any notion of keeping Matt Eberflus around because he's getting paid for another year. And then you just hope, beyond all hope, because the Bears usually get it wrong, but you just hope that they get the right head coach and the right offensive mind. And my preference is those are both the same guy, but the right head coach and the right offensive mind and the right guy to attach Caleb Williams to. And I think if you do that, yeah, they might have a dude. If you don't do that, they're just going to break another quarterback like they've been doing my whole life.
See, the thing to me was I felt the best case scenario for Bears fans was an absolute blowout bloodbath, like something like the Lions did to the Jaguars, where you get beat by 35 or 40 points. Because if that happens, George McCaskey fires Eberflus after the game immediately and tells him to pack up and get the heck out of his life. And then you start the process of figuring out what you're going to do moving forward. That game was so close and had every opportunity to win that now McCaskey hangs in there and says, oh, you know, maybe we're getting better and we saw something with a different offensive coordinator. Maybe Matt has this figured out now.
No, as long as they keep losing, I don't think they're going to be looking at the quality of the losses when this thing is said and done, Sparky. And you look at where they're at now, 4-6, and the seven games that they have left on the schedule, including another one against the Packers, two against the Vikings, two against the Lions, and then you got the Seahawks and the 49ers peppered in there between all those division games. They're not winning more than two, maybe three games out of all that, and that might be hopeful or wishful thinking to think they could win two or three games out of all that. Six games is not going to be enough to save him, and I don't care what those losses look like, how close they are, how hard fought they are. Six games is it better not save that guy's job. That better not be good enough for the McCaskies and for the general manager, Ryan Poles. They need to move on from Matt Eberflus. And if they do that and they make the right choice and get the right guy to put in charge of this thing and to sort of guide Caleb Williams, I think they could get it right. But they have not done that my whole life, Sparky. They'll probably go hire Robert Saleh to be the next head coach and some other Jamoke to be offensive coordinator.
No, they should hire an offensive play caller. Well, that's Ben Johnson from the Lions or whoever that is. It needs to be an offensive play caller. So that way, if it does work, you don't have to worry about losing that guy to somewhere else and then starting all over with a different offensive coordinator. Time with Rami Makhlouf, 670. 670, the score. Follow him on Twitter. Rami is tweeting, you are in a great position because you live in Wisconsin, so you're watching Packers every week. You're watching Bears every week. You do a podcast talking about the Packers, Bucks, and Brewers. You fill in here for us all the time on The Fan. So what are your thoughts on Jordan Love? Leads the league in interceptions, made another interception here. This wasn't a decision-based one. It was just an errant throw, which I'm fine with. But your thoughts on Love and what you've seen so far?
I think you can't quite count on what you saw in the last 8 or 9 weeks, whatever it was last year, Sparky, to be the norm. I mean, if he puts those numbers up for a whole season, he's Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, I don't mean this season's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, look at the guy that we've seen in previous years, who's done things we've rarely ever seen in this league. Things like we've seen Aaron Rodgers do. I don't know if he's quite at that level. Maybe he gets to that level, but he's not there yet. And people got to remember, fifth year in the league, but only what, a season and a half as a starter. There are still growing pains to go through. Most quarterbacks aren't a finished product and aren't who they're going to be for 3-4 years as a starter before they really have cemented who they are and what they can do out there and figure out what they can't do out there. Jordan Love is still growing, and I do think that, you know, the risks that he takes are kind of part of his game and something that Packers fans are going to have to put up with for a while, but you should be used to that. You had Brett Favre around for a long time, and that worked out pretty well. I don't think he's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's Brett Favre, but he's a damn good quarterback, and they made the right choice in giving him the money and keeping him around. People, and Sparky, you and I used to get into this argument a lot back in the day when we hosted the Big Show together. You see highest paid quarterback in the league, and you're like, oh, well, he's got to be the best quarterback in the league. That's how this works. And it's not. That's just the way that the market works, where if you hit free agency or you're about to hit free agency – at a premium position and you're one of the top guys, you're going to get that type of money. So the Packers had to pay that type of money to keep him, and they made the right choice in doing that and paying him when they paid him, so it didn't become an issue and it didn't become more of a story than it was. But can you expect, you know, Aaron Rodgers level performance out of him, peak Aaron Rodgers level performance out of him? I don't know if he'll ever get quite to that point.
Let's ask you the same question I brought up at 3 o'clock. Which is the bigger concern for you for the Packers? The red zone offense being inept and not scoring at a high enough rate getting touchdowns, or the lack of a Packers pass rush at this point, with highly paid Rashawn Gary, highly paid Kenny Clark, first round pick Lucas Van Ness, and so forth?
I think it's the pass rush, because even if you're not scoring as much as you'd like to score from the red zone, and we saw this yesterday, Sparky, if you can get those deep strikes and those long touchdowns, it makes up for that a little bit. As long as you're putting up enough points at the end of the day, you're putting up enough points at the end of the day. If you're not putting pressure on quarterbacks in this league, you're going to have problems. And I don't care how good your secondary is, guys are only going to be able to cover for so long. And so I do think that if there is one thing that teams might be able to exploit that might be sort of a weakness or a hole in this Packers team that could end up costing them on a big play or two when it really matters, I think it could be that pass rush. The offense, Jordan Love and that offense are going to be good enough for this Packers to win more weeks than not.
He is Rami Makhlouf. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting, and go ahead, promote your podcast, my friend.
It is Rami and Drew. I need to talk to Drew, but I think there might be a new episode going up tonight after that Bucks game. So check it out. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. We used to stream live on Twitter, but you can't do that anymore unless you have one of those paid for blue check marks. And I'm not paying for a blue check mark, Sparky. I earned it the old fashioned way, and I refused to pay for one.
I did. I paid for it.
You paid for it?
Yes, and it's gotten us a bunch of guests because of it. So I am fine paying for it as long as I can continue to reach people that I normally wouldn't have reached. So yes, it worked out fine. Yeah. Because from a booking standpoint, it allows you to essentially DM and be more able to go after people with the blue check mark. If you don't have that, you don't get as many opportunities. So it makes sense.
I haven't been on Twitter in 2 weeks, Sparky.
I just joined Blue Sky last night. Have you been on that yet?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Blue Sky is kind of like old Twitter was. And there's like 19 million people already on it, which I just found out last night. So I was like, well, there's 19 million people there. I probably should sign up. And sure enough, like Schefter's there, Rosenthal. I mean, go ahead. Go through whoever. Kurt Hoge of the Journal Sentinel, J.R. Ratcliffe of the Journal Sentinel, John Greenberg of the Admirals. There's a bunch of people on there already.
I might check it out.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost you anything.
If it's free, it's me, like our boy Gary used to say.
He still does. I don't think it's changed. Just because we don't. Right. Yeah, it still does. Yeah. Yeah, it's still him. Rami, thank you so much.
All right, Spark.
There he is. Rami Makhlouf, 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter. Rami is tweeting.